Parshas Bahar presents the Isser of Ribis, one of a couple of parshas where that appears. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, Tani Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Minayim Menoshe Bechavei Ramana Ve'ena Ragel Lahakdim Lashalom Shasu Lahakdim Lashalom. So how do we know that if a person sends a loan to his chaver and he's not in the practice, he's not in the habit of saying hello to him, that he's not permitted to extend greetings? Tamalomar Vinesha called the Vari Sheishach the Pasuk in Kiseitse Afilu Dibur Aser. So there's a din in addition to standard ribbis that we know about. There's something called ribbis devarim that you're not allowed to extend favors that are simply verbal, even if there's no material benefit that's extended, as an extension of a loan. That's a violation of ribbis devarim. Presumably, this is a din derabban and the pasuk's only in Asmachta. That's how most assume. If you look in the Sefer Divrei Sofrim, which is one of the wonderful modern compendium on Hilchos Ribbis, Mishnah Brura style work, so he has a diuk on Chuvas HaRivash. He thinks the Rivash may hold a Ribbis Varim is Daraisa. I wasn't quite sure what the diuk was, but if you want to take a look, the Rivash in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin, Vapashup Shat, this is a Din D'Rabban, and the Pasuk is an Esmachta. The Rambam writes as follows in Hilchos Malva Velova, Perek Heilach Yevei, second Mar Malkam in the sheet in front of you. Mi shalava mechaveira veloha yaragel nikodem haktim lo shalom, asr lahaktim lo shalom. Vein zarch lomashir kalsana bidvarim, o yashin lepisko, you're not allowed to extend praises, you're not allowed to get up and greet him early in the morning. Shanam ranesha kol devar afilu devar masur. Vechein asr lo lil amid es hamal ve mikra, o gemara, kozman shamaose biyado, as long as you're holding on to the loan that was extended to you, you're not allowed to teach him Torah or to his son. In Loha Yaragil Bazet Mikodim, unless you were in the practice of doing so previously, Shinamar Nesha called Davar. So that's the din of Ribbis Tavarim, and this is passed in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Samich, Si'if Yud Aleph, Si'if Yud Beis. Yud Yud Aleph Yud Beis. So what's the gather here of Ragil Ahakdim Lo? That if you're not in the practice of saying hello, of extending Shalom, you shouldn't do it if you just extend it alone. So in the Darkei Tshuva, Darkei Tshuva is the Mishnah Berurah style work, or Likud style work on Yaradeya that was authored under the supervision of the Munkacher, so he just collects Mar Mekomis from the Tshuva literature. So he quotes over there from a Sefer Mar Be Torah that the definition of Ragil is two or three times. That if you only said hello to this guy once in your life, so then you shouldn't start saying hello after you become Malva Velova. If you said hello two or three times, so then you can continue saying hello, and there's no quid pro quo, there's no connection between your greeting and the halva that was extended.
Yeah. Separated between the fact that the person possibly is just saying hello because now I actually know the person, you never got a, you know it,
right?
Because you're, it's not Ribbis Tavarim, it's just that now because we had a dealing, now I actually know who you are.
Right, so it's arguable that if the situation is that you're a friendly person, you say hello to everyone who you know, and you just never knew him, so now you're saying hello because now you know him, so one could make such an argument that wouldn't be a violation of Ribbis Tavarim. If you look in the Gaon, here in Shulchan Aruch, he's mitzayin at Tosefta, the Gaon Sivkat in Yudalit. Tosefta sounds like that even if he just said hello to once, then that would be enough to solve this problem. But you may be correct that in the post can talk about, let's say, you never said hello to him because you had nothing to do with him, and now, unrelated to the fact that you extended a loan, you happen to become related, that your relatives marry each other, now you're extended mishpacha. So not in a situation where there's clearly no quid pro quo, nothing to do with the loan, so that would be... that would be permissible.
And the act of saying hello is key, like pressure on the person to say, you know, hey, I lent you, and now you have to pay me back.
No, it's not pressure. So ribbis means that you give me $100, and I give you $100 plus. So I could give you $101 back. I can give you $100 plus a bracha back, or plus a greeting back. So I'm extending some benefit to you, even if it's not tangible, that may be construed as something beyond that which I actually owe you. That's the concept of ribbis dvarim. Tosus points out in Bav Mitzia Samach Dalet Amabez Dibur Maskel Aval Samach Dalet Amabez Dibur Maskel Aval, that the general criterion when you evaluate Ribbis Tavarim is this something that you wouldn't have normally done if not for the fact that you entered into this Malva Lova relationship. So there the Gemara is talking about allowing someone free use of otherwise unoccupied apartment space, unoccupied territory. So in certain situations where it's a minor kind of favor extended that you would give to everyone as a matter of course, so then maybe it wouldn't be a problem. If it's something that you think twice about extending, So then you have to cheshbon whether that's an issue of ribis dvarim. So post can discuss whether there's an issue of saying a mere thank you when you extend a loan in appreciation for the extension of the loan. Is that a potential problem of ribis dvarim? So in the Darkei Tshuva here, we're in Simon Kuf Samach in Yeridela, Darkei Tshuva, Simon Kuf Samach, Sif Katan Pei Zayin. So he recommends that if you want to say thank you for a loan, you should wait until the loan is paid back. So after you pay back the loan, there's no problem with ribis anymore. Everything's already been all cheshbened out. So then you can say thank you without a problem. But it sounds like during the course of while the loan has been extended, before it's paid back, there's a potential issue of ribis dvarim.
Obviously, when you're actually paying back, that would also still be in that same
right,
problem.
So it has to be after the loan is paid back, there wouldn't be an issue of saying thank you. There's a comment that the Torah Tamima makes in Parshas Dvarim, Parakof Gimel, footnote Kufay, however you, Os Kufay in Parakof Gimel. So he says, he seems to observe that common practice is not to be careful about this. People do say thank you when they extend the loan. So the Torah Tamima says, maybe when you're saying thank you not for the loan, but thank you for the effort involved in extending the loan. So if you're to say thank you for the loan, that may be a chashash of ribis dvarim. But if you're saying thank you for the effort that you went through to extend the loan, so then that wouldn't be a problem. There's this nice sheet that comes out of B'nai Brak every week, a halachic topic on the Sedra, called Neveh Hechel. So he has an essay on this last week, in Eretz Yisrael, which is this week's parsha here. So he just points out it's a little bit difficult to draw the line. You have to, the cheshbon is that you're saying thank you for the effort and not for the loan. So if you just say thank you, is that clear that you're saying thank you for the effort and not for the loan? It's a little difficult to be mishayer what the thank you is going on. So Shlomo Zalman has a famous tshuva about this. Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Chav Zayin makes the following observation. Shlomo Zalman thinks, it's not a problem to say thank you, because what does thank you mean? Thank you is a relatively meaningless statement. You're not the Gemara's prohibition of being makdim shalom, so shalom is a little bit of a bracha. Shalom Hashem Hashem. So you give shalom, you're giving a bracha. So that may be something of significance. But simply saying thank you is a relatively innocuous matter. However, he thinks that some people, in order to avoid the problem of saying thank you, they say tiskel mitzvahs. So Shlomo Zalman writes that tiskel mitzvahs is worse, because that's mamash bracha. If you say thank you, what does thank you mean? If you say tiskel mitzvahs, then you're giving him a bracha. Giving him a bracha could be a bigger problem of ribis dvarim. So he says, how do you know that this notion of tiskel mitzvahs, of giving a bracha, is a problem of ribis dvarim? So he points to Tosfos in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ches Amud Beis, has the name of Rabbi Yitzchak that we have many places in Chas. So how do we know that when you extend the collateral to the Baal Chov, he's actually kona the mashkan? Shenemar ulachati atzdaka. The pasuk referring to where an ani gives a collateral and then you return it to the ani. Pasuk says ulachati atzdaka, and eino kona atzdaka minayim. If the Baal Chov wasn't kona the mashkan to begin with, so what's the righteousness that he's doing by giving it back? So it must be that he was kona. And then he's doing something that's laudatory and giving it back. So it must be the Baal Chov Kona Mashkon, and that's why the Torah can refer to his giving it back to the Ani as Tzedaka. So Tosfos here asks, Vim Tomar, Ika Tzedaka, Mimashi Yafsilo Lishkov Alav. So no, maybe he wasn't Kona, even though he wasn't technically Kona, so it's still considered Tzedaka and giving the Mashkan back to the Ani, so the Ani can use it if it's his pillow or his pajamas or his blanket to go to sleep at night. So how does that necessarily prove that Baal Chov Kona Mashkan? So Tosfos answers, V'yishlomar, didiyek mi dechsiv, v'shachav b'salma sa'u v'erachecha. Then what's the rest of the Pasuk? You're going to give him back his Mashkan. His Mashkan is what he needs to sleep at night, his blanket and his pajamas. So he's going to take it, and then he'll bless you. V'lo havei kona lei, if it wasn't for the fact that the Baal Chov is actually kona the mashkon, imken kishem bevarcha ani havelei ribis dvarim. So if he wasn't kona the mashkon, then extending a bracha would be ribis dvarim. So Tosus assumes that the extending of a bracha is considered to be ribbis dvarim. So Rishlama Zalman thinks that if you say thank you, not a problem. If you say tiskel mitzvahs, that's a bigger problem. That's a bracha, and a bracha is a violation of ribbis dvarim. Rishlama Zalman then apparently was chozer. In they quote that, I couldn't find this inside, but they quote from the second volume of Mincha Shlomo that he was chozer. I was talking to Rabbi Rublevsky about this on the ride home today from Yeshiva. He said he thinks it was in a footnote of one of the editions, but I couldn't find it in the edition that I had. But this is May. The later sources quote Shlomo Zalman is later saying that maybe you shouldn't say thank you out of deference to the position of the Alter Rebbe, who writes as much in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Moshe also, in a tshuva that we're going to quote in a slightly different context, shortly seems to think that thank you would be a problem. Rabbi Reisman, in his English book on Ribbis, quotes B'Shem Rav Yashiv, Rav Yashiv is Mekel, that thank you is not a problem, like Rishlama Zalman in the original version. And Rabbi Reisman suggests, along, he doesn't quote the Torah Tamima, but he thinks everyone should agree, if you say thank you for the effort involved, so that would not be a problem with Ribbis Tvarim. If you say thank you, Stam, so then maybe you don't accept the Torah Tamima, thank you, Stam, can mean thank you for the love. But if you say explicitly thank you for the effort involved, then that should solve the problem according to everyone and cannot be construed as Ribbis Dvar. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has the following story from Rav Schwab, that apparently Rav Schwab, when he was learning in the Mir as a Bacher, and in the Mir the Bacher would go home for Yantiv, and the Mashgiach, when necessary, would extend, you know the story, the Mashgiach, when necessary, would extend a loan to cover the travel expenses for the Bacher to travel back home. So the first year there was in Yeshiva, Schwab went to Rav Yeruchim and to get the money for the loan, and Rav Yeruchim gave him the loan, and he said, thank you. So Rav Yeruchim screamed at him, or criticized him, for saying thank you. It's a loan, the problem with Ribbis Dvarim, how could you say thank you? So the next time, Schwab went back to Rav Yeruchim, and he got the money for the loan, and he said nothing. And Rav Yeruchim criticized him for saying nothing. Last time you criticized me for saying thank you and I say nothing. So Yeruchim explained that the need of a yid has to be that you want to say thank you. And I could tell that when you didn't say thank you, you weren't bothered by the fact that you didn't say thank you. You should have been bothered by the fact that you couldn't say thank you. So you shouldn't say thank you, but you should be bothered by the fact that you can't say thank you. There's a related discussion in Poskim about the following situation. The Darkei Tshuva has this in Sifkat and Peches. He quotes in the Sefer Erech Shai.
What about saying thank you before the loan is extended?
What are you saying thank you for?
Well, when there's an understanding that it's going to take place.
So there is an issue of Ribbis Mukdemis. So that could, if it's still in the context of the loan, that could potentially be a problem as well.
So if Ribbis Durim also.
Right. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes in the Sefer Erech Shai the following discussion, that he's critical of the people that would print Svarim, and in order to get the Svarim to print, they would take loans out, and they would thank the donors, and they'd have a dedication in the Sefer to thank the people that lent the money to allow for the printing of the Svarim. So the Sefer Erech Shai, quoting the Darkei Tshuva, is critical of that. He thinks that's a problem of Ribbis Dvarim. He says that's a shkaga gedola, that the matpisim of the Svarim aren't aware of the halachic issue, and they write these dedications, thank you to so-and-so for essentially extending a loan to help bring the Sefer to press, to be mostly ledvus, and that's a problem of Ribbis Dvarim.
They're hoping that once they see their name in the Sefer, that they'll just, you know...
they're the one that's for the money back.
Right.
Right. So, the Darkei Tshuva suggests that... that's only a problem if the loan is extended to the mechaber of the sefer, and the mechaber of the sefer is the one who's also printing the sefer. But usually, the mechaber hires a printer, and the printer needs to borrow money to pay for the printing costs. So there, the loan is extended from whoever the malva is to the printer, and not to the mechaber. So you can cheshven as follows, that the dedication is put in by the mechaber, and the mechaber has no direct connection to the malva, because the malva loaned the money to the middleman, to the matpis, and not to the mechaber. So he suggests maybe that would avoid this problem if the mechaber is thanking the person who lent the money to the madpis, it's not the madpis who's thanking him, even though the madpis is being madpis thanks. So he thinks that maybe that would not be the same problem of ribbis tvarim. Ramosha has a tshuva in which he addresses this in the following way: Igros Moshe Yerodei Chelak Aleph Simon Pei. So he writes that saying thank you, Ramosha assumes, is a problem. So saying thank you as part of a dedication in the sefer is also going to be a problem. But he says you can do the following. He says you should write a nusach as follows: not thank you for extending the loan, but bracha nesuna me Hashem Yisbarach leploni hagomel chesed v'halovel hadpasas hasefer kach v'kach. That there should be Hashem should bless. There should be a blessing from Hashem, passive voice, to so and so who extended money to allow for the printing of the sefer. So you're not directly blessing him. You're saying an announcement. He should be blessed. So Moshe thinks that's not a problem of ribbis dvarim. Passive voice. So Rav Avadya is not so fond of that. Rav Avadya is a tshuva yabia omer chelik dalid yoredeya simentes, chelik dalid yoredeya simentes. So first he discusses bichlal, whether it's so pashut that a printed thank you should be the same thing as a verbal thank you. We know there's ribbis dvarim. So ribbis dvarim means words. It means spoken words. How do you know it means printed words? So Rav Avadya has kama v'kama instances in which you see that we treat dibor k'ksiva. So he talks about edus b'chsav, which is often admissible. The classic edus is b'al peh, but if you have an edus b'chsav, that could also be admissible. He talks about mekalel aviv imo, where according to poskim, if you're mekalel b'chsav, that could be a chiyuv min haTorah. So there are many instances in which, even though the strict application of halacha is in terms of dibor, but we treat kesiva as dibor. So I think that would be true here as well. That if there's an iser vibis dvarim to extend thanks verbally, then there'd also be an iser vibis dvarim to extend thanks bichsav. So he quotes from Moshe's tshuva, and he's not so convinced that there's really a fundamental difference between saying thank you for extending the loan and Hashem should bless you for extending the loan. Vaidya doesn't think that that's a significant difference. That should be the same problem. But Rav Avadya has the following way out. He suggests maybe you could work out with the person extending the loan. He's lending you $10,000 for the publication costs. So work out that he's going to give you an advance of $50. So he only expects to get paid back $9,950, and he gave you an advance of $50 for the towards the sfar. So you could argue that the thanks that you're giving is the thanks for the advance and not the thanks for the halva. Halva you can't thank him for, but for the advance that he's not expecting to get paid back for, that you could thank him for. Okay, that's where Vavadya's suggestion. The Darkei Tshuva has a similar discussion in Sifkaten Pei Aleph, quoting from some Achronim, that you're not allowed to extend the loan to a Talmid Chacham with the understanding that in exchange for the loan he's going to be mispallah for you. That would also be a problem with Ribbis. If he wants to daven stam, so everyone should daven for all Klal Yisrael. But if there's any quid pro quo that you're extending the loan and somehow there's an understanding that is part of that relationship, he's going to daven for your sick relative, and that could potentially be a problem of ribbis dvarim as well.
Someone lends some money for a shul,
mm-hmm.
and the shul wants to thank this donor, or not necessarily donor. Maybe they give him money as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if they specifically gave money to lend the shul, would they be allowed to make an announcement thanking that person?
So when it comes to shuls, that's a separate discussion whether bichlal is an iser ribbis for most of tzedakah. So there are many sources to support the idea that there's no iser ribbis, that a tzedakah organization is allowed to be malva ribbis. So then, that if that's true by regular ribbis, that would definitely be true by ribbis dvarim. Okay.
Could a person say, "I wish I could thank you. I can't thank you, but I wish I could thank you."
Maybe. technically speaking, there probably would not be a violation of Ribbis Dvarim. Okay. The end of Parshas Behar, we have the Pasuk. Thank you. Including Pasuk Parshas Behar, Es Shabbos Asai Tishmoru Mitashi Tirah V'nei Hashem. So Chaim heard me talk about this before, with apologies, but there's a famous Sefer Yireim. It's probably a Shitas Yachin Rishonim, but the Yireim writes that just like there's a mitzvah of Yiras HaMikdash, there's also a mitzvah of Yiras HaShabbos, that a person should have a certain awe and reverence for Shabbos. Which is an interesting concept, that there's a notion of sanctified place, the Mikdash, and there's a parallel sanctified time, which is Shabbos. Yochanan Fischel Perler writes in his commentary to decide to go and say for Mitzvahs, maybe that's why there's a practice of standing for Kiddush or standing for Vayichulu, that's the key of Yiras HaShabbos. So I thought that there are certain parallels that we have between Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yiras HaMikdash. We discussed a few weeks ago Yiras HaMikdash in the context of Aliyah L'Har Bayis Bezman Hazeh, but this is a different discussion. It's noteworthy, if you look at the Rambam Perek Zayin of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, there are certain parallels that jump out at you, or could jump out at you, between Shabbos and Yiras HaMikdash. Even though we don't, technically speaking, assume like the Reim, that we don't assume that there's necessarily a mitzvah or a kiyum of Yiras HaShabbos, but on some level there are certain parallels. So for example, the din is that Lo yikanes adam lahar bayis halacha beis, perek zayin halacha beis, Lo yikanes adam lahar bayis b'makla b'min ala b'shiver raglav b'pandasa b'avashal raglav, and I'll let you walk into the makam and mikdash wearing your belt and your money pouch and your pocketbook, etc. Mos asurin lo bestino. So there is a din on Erev Shabbos, you're supposed to be mamashmesh b'kiso, you're supposed to check your pockets. So just like you have to check your pockets before you walk into the makam mikdash, you have to check your pockets before you you enter Shabbos. And din is in Halacha Dalid that when you leave the makam mikdash, you're supposed to walk out backwards. You're not supposed to turn your back to the makam mikdash. Elam halach acharon is mat mat. So we have that notion by Shabbos also of delaying the exit of Shabbos, and we try to prolong the exit of Shabbos. Then we have the din that you shouldn't be nohig b'kalus rosh. Lo yakel adam is rosh, cannot get shar hamizrach shel azara shushar nikonor v'chulei. So that you have the Rambam the end of Hilchas Shabbos, that the person should enter Shabbos with a certain sense of Kovod Rosh. So there may be some parallel between that and the Kovod Rosh that a person should have when entering or observing the Makom HaMikdash. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, that you're not allowed to talk to Divrei Rishus in the Makom HaMikdash on the Har Bayis. So that's the Yerushalmi that tells the quotes in Shabbos, that because she was here to say good Shabbos, that on some level, on a theoretical level, there would have been value in refraining from talking on Shabbos at all. So another potential parallel. The Gemara says in the end of Chagiga that Bisman Beis HaMikdash Mikdash Mechaper, Mizbeach Mechaper rather, that when you have a Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach is Mechaper, and now Shulchan is Alada Mechaper, Chagiga Kasayin. But now a person's table in his own home is mechaper instead of the mizbeach. So that notion of shulchan shalda mechaper may be more pronounced on Shabbos than the rest of the week. The Ramah quotes a minhag in Siman Reis Samach Beis in Aruch Chaim that you should leave a tablecloth on the table all of Shabbos. It's based on a maril. It says in the Minhagim Maril that when the maril had his talmidim over on Shabbos, he gave shir in his home. So he was makbid to make sure they wouldn't take the tablecloth off when the talmidim gathered around the table. He was makbid to have the tablecloth on the table all Shabbos. So maybe this notion of shulchan shel adam mechaper is more pronounced on Shabbos than the rest of the week, which is why there's this minug, or this recommendation, that the tablecloth should be on the table and the table should be set for the entirety of Shabbos. That's the mizbeach analogy. In the Piskei Chuvos, he quotes from the Ari, I think, that his practice was to be makbid to have a tablecloth on the table all week. So by him, maybe it was the Mizbeach comparison was more pronounced all week. I thought also that might explain the Minhag HaOlam to be more makabit about putting salt on bread on Shabbos. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that you should salt your bread when you say bracha. Our practice nowadays, Mikra Din, is it's not necessary because our bread is sufficiently tasty and salted without putting more salt on it. But I think common practice is that even if you're not makbit to put salt on your bread during the week, people are more makbit to put salt on your bread on Shabbos. So I thought maybe that's connected to this notion as well, that the Shulchan Shel Adam Echaper Thim is more pronounced on Shabbos than the rest of the week. And I'll call Karban Chatakrif Melech. Melech is a prime ingredient for Karbanos. So on Shabbos we accentuate this notion that the Mizbeach is represented by our Shulchan. So that's why perhaps the minhag is to be more makbid about salting bread on Shabbos as part of this Mizbeach extension. I wasn't saying that, but it's enhancing the status of the table.
It's effectuated only if you don't pay the loan back.
So he's not using it while you're... No, Balcho Konamashkan is Balcho Konamashkan even at the moment.
And he has full right to use it without any problems. Mm-hmm. And that's considered to be Ribbis, basically.
Well, if you were to extend a... if that wasn't the case, if it wasn't the case of Balcho Konamashkan, then there would be a problem with Ribbis Tvarim. Since it's his, so then he's free to give it back. If it wasn't his, it would be a problem with Ribbis Tvarim to give a bracha.